वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य
रं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयं उदीरयेत् नास्तप्रयेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत
सेवया
भगवति उत्तमा श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति
नैष्ठिकी. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator and commentator. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering service unto the pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. And loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Hare Krishna. So chapter 1 of the second canto is entitled First Step in God Realization. So what we had previous to this was the whole first canto was kind of like an introduction. This is actually now starting the response to Maharaj Parikit's question, what's the duty of a man in an awkward position? What's the duty of a person who's about to die? So that was the end of that question was raised by Parikit Maharaj at the end of the first canto. Now, beginning second canto, first step in God realization, Sukadeva Goswami is explaining, you know, how to get to transcendental realization. What's how to get there in a systematic way. Actually, what he's going to say is very interesting. But what he first does is he glorifies somebody, those personalities, those transcendental personalities who have already realized the supreme personality of Godhead, who have realization on that level. And then he explains how gradually one gets there. If one can't just start off at that level, one has to start off at a different place. But right where we are now, that I've been directed to as we are in the class, Sukadeva Goswami is going to talk about the transcendentalists. So we're on text 7, Prayena. Yeah. Prayena munayo rajan nivrita vidhi siddhata nargunyasta ramante sma gunanu katane harehe prayena munayo rajan nivrita vidhi siddhata nargunyasta ramante sma gunanu katane hare prayena munayo rajan vidhi sed nivrita vidhi siddhata nargunyasta ramante sma gunanu katane hare. Please chant.
Prayena munayo rajan
prayena munayo rajan
Vidivita Vidhi Sevata.
Nargunyas Dhamramante Sma.
Gunanu Katate Kare.
Praye Namunayo Rajan.
Nivita Vidhi Sedata. Nargunyas Dhamramante Sma.
Gunanu Katane Hare.
Nirgunyastaramantesma Gunanu Katane Hare
Prayena Munayo Rajan
Nirvita Vidisedata Nargunyastaramantesma Gunanu Katane Hare
Prayena Munayo Rajan
Nirvita Vitisenata
Nargunya Staramante Sta
Gunanu Katane Hare.
Savannah, you ready to chant? Want to give it a try anyway? Okay. Okay, tomorrow. Try tomorrow, all right? Sorry.
Prayena,
mainly,
Munaya,
all sages,
Rajan,
O King,
Nirvita,
above,
Vidhi,
regulative principles,
Sedhata,
from restrictions,
Nargunyastva,
transcendentally situated.
Ramante,
take pleasure in.
Sma,
distinctly.
Guna
Anu Katane,
describing the glories.
Hare,
of the Lord.
Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O King Parikshit, mainly the topmost transcendentalist who are above the regulative principles and restriction, take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. Let's say it together. O King Parikshit, mainly the topmost transcendentalists who are above the regulative principles and restrictions, take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. So before I read the purport, I'm just going to read the verses, the first six, the six verses preceding this, so that we can focus in on what Sukadeva Goswami is saying. So Sukadeva Goswami said, this is text one, and I'm just going to read the English verse. You know.
Somebody put this up. You know how to do it?
Oh, you don't have to worry. I'll do it really quick.
It helps everyone else understand it.
However you want. Text one. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, my dear king, your question is glorious because it is very beneficial to all kinds of people. So if you remember, text one, chapter two, chapter one. If you remember, I was saying that the question that Maharaj Parikshit was asking at the end of the first canto of the Bhagavatam was, what's the duty of a man about to die? What's the duty of a man in an awkward position? So, as youngsters in your life, you might not be thinking that that's such an important question. It might not be so pressing on your mind. But the Bhagavatam reminds us that, hey, this life is just a few days only. It's just a few days. In the blink of an eye of eternal time, that's how long this life is. So we might be thinking, oh, you know, I'm just 20-something, I'm just this, I'm just that, plenty of time. Well, hello. Hello, it's not like that. Death can come at any time. So Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami saying, O King Parikshit, your question is glorious because it's beneficial to everyone, all kinds of people, you know, people in different stages of consciousness. The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing, and it is approved by all transcendentalists. Prime subject matter for hearing. So what do you think? So we have so much experience of hearing during the day, hearing everything. So many things are out there for us to hear. Is this the prime subject matter that's being heard through all sorts of vibrations? No. It's just people are just totally engrossed in here and now and how to be happy in this life and how to live forever in this life. But here it is, the reminder. Doing! That was to wake everyone up. The reminder is that this is the prime subject matter. Nothing else is really very important. And so then he says in text 2, those persons who are materially engrossed, being blind to the knowledge of the ultimate truth, have many subjects for hearing in human society, O emperor. So what is someone who's totally engrossed in material activity? How are they going to make progress? He's going to explain gradually. The lifetime, so here's the explanation of what their life is like. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or in sex indulgence, or in the daytime either in making money or maintaining family members. So that's how they spend their time. What's going to happen? Persons devoid of atma-tattva. Atma-tattva means knowledge of the self, the real self. In other words, we get to understand by attending a few classes, this body that we call the self isn't the self. Who I think I am isn't really me. I'm different, totally different than this body and this mind. Not only the body, but I'm different from my mind. So when my mind is there bringing me down, telling me all these things of how I'm not qualified in this way, or how I'm this, or how I'm never going to make progress, or how this, whatever it is, I'm not my mind either. I find that really exciting. Okay, sorry. All right, text 4. Persons devoid of atma-tattva do not inquire into the problems of life. What are the problems of life? Birth, death, old age, and disease. And you know what? As your life progresses, you realize those problems more and more. Okay. Being too attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they still do not see their inevitable destruction. What does it mean that they're sufficiently experienced? Yeah. Go ahead.
By their experience, they die already. So by their experience, they see around themselves that people are dying, people are getting diseased, people are getting old age, but still this experience is not open there as they think that this should not happen to them.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? It's not going to happen to me. Or at least it's not going to happen to me like that. For me, it's going to be different. Hare Krishna. Text 5. O descendant of King Bharat, one who desires to be free from all miseries. Does anyone desire to be free from all miseries? Yeah, but do we desire strong enough? That's the question. Okay. Must hear about... one who desires to be free from all miseries must hear about, glorify, and also remember the personality of Godhead, who is the supersoul, the controller, and the savior of all miseries. That was text 5. Text 6 is, the highest perfection in human life, achieved either by complete knowledge of matter and spirit, by practice of mystic powers, or by perfect discharge of occupational duty, is to remember the personality of Godhead at the end of life. So this verse is very informative because it gives us an indication that there's not just one way to achieve the ultimate perfection of life. There are many paths. There are specifically here, 3 paths are enumerated for people in different stages of life. Even if one is very engrossed in material conception, there's a process that they can take to make progress and achieve it simply by what was the solution given by Sukadeva Goswami that we read about? What's the solution to get perfection in this life? I just didn't hear who it came from. Yeah? Can you say it again, please?
Remember the first time you've called
it. Yeah. And only remember? Hear, chant, remember, and glorify the Supreme Person. So that's available for all of us. So here we are up to text 7, which is today's verse. I'll just read the verse again, and we'll start the purport. So get ready because you have the mic near you, okay? Oh, King Parikshit, mainly the topmost transcendentalists who are above the regulative principles and restriction take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. So, Prabhu, you want to start reading? Thanks.
The topmost transcendentalist is a liberated soul and is therefore not within the purview of the regulative principles. A neophyte who is intended to be promoted to the spiritual plane is guided by the spiritual master under regulative principles. He may be compared to a patient who is treated by various restrictions under a medical jurisdiction. Generally, liberated souls also take pleasure in describing the transcendental activities. As mentioned above, since Narayana, Hari, the personality Godhead, is beyond the material creation, his form and attributes are not material.
Thank you. Savannah, can you continue? Can you grab the mic? It's right in front of you. And don't forget it, the little switch. Great.
The topmost transcendentalist, or the liberated souls, realize him by advanced experience of transcendental...
You sure you got it on, or do you have it close enough to your mouth? Either one. Sorry.
Experience of transcendental knowledge, and therefore they take pleasure in the discussion of the transcendental qualities of the Lord's pastimes. In the Bhagavad Gita, the personality of Godhead declares that his appearance and activities are all divyam, or transcendental. The common man who is under the spell of material energy takes it for granted that the Lord is like one of us, and therefore he refuses to accept the transcendental nature of the Lord's form, name, etc.
Thank you. Can we get on the men's side? Rupa Chandra, can you go? Okay. However, whoever. We're on the topmost transcendentalist. Thanks. Alex, can you continue?
But there are also others who are not the topmost transcendentalists, but are in a lower status, and who do not take pleasure in describing the transcendental activities of the Lord. Rather, they discuss such activities of the Lord formally with the aim of merging into his existence.
Thank you. Omagina chimidandasya jinanjana salakaya chakshur umilitam jena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So again, the verse, O Maharaj Parikshit, mainly the topmost transcendentalists who are above the regulative principles and restrictions, take pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord. So we heard in the verse, one of the Sanskrit words in the verses was vidhi, nirvritta vidhi. So vidhi, the vidhi, rules and regulations of the scriptures, they're there in all religious processes and even philosophical processes. There's there, rules and regulations. How to follow them, things you should do, pravritti, the things you should do, nirvritti, the things that you should not do. So the do's and the don'ts of the scriptures, they're set up for the neophyte, for the person who's just starting out on the path, so that they can come to more elevated position. So by following the rules and regulations, the heart becomes cleansed, the mind becomes cleansed, and by the activities are also cleansed in that process of sadhana. So this process of sadhana, following rules and regulations, not to be neglected, not to be depreciated, because what we're trying to understand here is how somebody who's not transcendentally situated can get to the transcendental platform. Srimad Bhagavatam is unique in the fact that it speaks in one sense, it's speaking to all classes of people. Someone who, it's describing all classes of people too. Someone who's completely, like the previous verses, someone who's completely engrossed in materialistic life, not any clue to the knowledge of the self or to the goal of life or to who we are or to what, that's just basic information, what to speak of the personality of Godhead. Someone who has no clue to that level of understanding of truth, they can actually also, they're not exempt from the ability to make progress and actually what? Experience the highest transcendental pleasure. And so these persons who have achieved that level of transcendental pleasure, what's the verse? Nargunyasta ramante sma, ramante, taking pleasure in, by distinctly and specifically glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That pleasure is of such a higher nature that automatically the pleasures that one is seeking or even experiencing in this, in a material life, automatically those pleasures are so diminished that one can easily give them up by experience a higher taste. You know the verse in your Bhagavad Gita verses that explains that? Getting a higher pleasure? Param dristva nivartate. Param dristva nivartate. And the English, the whole?
The verse says that although we still might have the attraction and a lot of mental debris of our impressions of sense gratification, if we experience a higher pleasure, higher happiness in spiritual activity, in spiritual life, then we can remain fixed on that platform by experiencing that.
Thanks. So that's what we're all looking for. And that's what we've all experienced to some degree or other. Every one of us has experienced that to some degree or other. And that's what keeps us going here in devotional service, even in our beginning stages of, you know, aspiring for a transcendental position. Param dristva nivartate. So what helps us taste that higher pleasure? What are some of the things that help us taste that higher pleasure? Sadhana. Okay, good. Something else? Prasadam kijai.
Sadhu sangha.
Associating with devotees. Sankirtan. What else? I didn't hear what you said.
Faith.
Okay. Uh-huh. Sadhu sangha helps build your faith. Anything else? Who said regulative something?
Regulative principles.
And what did you say? Humility. Okay. Humility. Ugh. I mean, jai. Humility. Okay, so now that you said humility, how does humility help you experience a higher taste? Now you have to explain it. Can you pass the mic down? Because we're going to get a great, great instructions here. Does it go down? What we all need
great,
to hear.
Great, but very humble.
Yeah. Humble. Great but humbly presented instructions. How humility helps us experience a higher taste.
Because it makes our heart softer. Otherwise.
Oh, how nice.
I mean, like, experiences come in life that make your heart make. If we have our ego that crushes our ego first, and then we may try to revert back or fight back for my ego.
Uh huh.
But it doesn't help. So eventually, we come to our senses, we have to surrender and we become more humble. Then Krishna, then we can get the joyful experience in devotional service.
Thanks for that. Yeah, it's true. So, not to get distracted, but it's still related that I'm trying to. There's still something else that I want to. Oh yes, what would you like to add? What's your name?
I'm Ahmed.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Humility is very important because although we may try to attain many things, we don't attain Godhead. It's something we become, rather. It's emerging of hearts when we do this through service. So by realizing our position, we realize real humility. And
that's,
we can do this, and we can, even in a realized position, have affection for Godhead. But it is most important to serve the spiritual master. And in this, we have some direction, and which will lead us to serve Godhead.
Thanks. Spoken very wisely. Thanks for sharing that. Hare Krishna. So that, and actually it's very true there. By really realizing our position, oftentimes we're thinking that we're, you know, what are we? An illusion. We're thinking we're great, we're this, we're that, we're important, we're so many things. But when you actually, by hearing the Bhagavatam explaining the position of the unlimited number of souls that there are, we realize our position is very, very small. Very, very small. And when you get a little inkling of that, that our position is very small, that we're nothing but a tiny, insignificant servant of the Supreme Lord, then actually that does bring a higher pleasure. It's true. So again, one of the points that I was trying to bring out by asking how we can taste that higher pleasure was given in the instructions, was given in the verse, by glorifying the Supreme Lord. Oftentimes we neglect that in our busy daily activities. You know, you come, you do your sadhana, you hear, you chant, blah, blah, you hear class. And then, what you could say, your day starts, your other day. The other day that takes like so many hours of your day starts. And it has its pressures, it has its it has its ups and its downs and whatever, you have responsibilities of this and that. But somehow or other, if we can add our personal glorification of the Lord into those activities, that will enliven us and will enliven those that we speak to. We often neglect that. You try to remember Krishna, you try to pray to Krishna, you try to so many things internally. But speak externally. Speak about the Lord. Speak about what you just read last night. Speak of what you heard in class or on a tape or on a this or a that. You know, speak about the Lord, and that will bring, that just immediately lifts, that's like to me a very practical instruction, how to get there. Take the opportunity, how to get there, by speaking about the Lord. You might think, oh yeah, but you know, what do I know? Then speak about what you do know. Speak of what you read. And actually you can even improve your memory, test yourself, so many things, you can do so many things. Not that you guys need your memory improved, you're probably all PhD candidates by now. But anyway, what you read last night, speak it the next day. Speak it in the morning, speak it to somebody. Oh, I read about this, and then you realize, oh, I forgot this detail, I forgot that, you know, I couldn't remember, I thought I understood it, but I didn't really get the connection between this and that. Then you have to go read it again. And if you take a practice of trying to tell three people something that you read, then it gets really solidified in your memory, in your brain. So try doing that. Try telling three people something that you read. In fact, we could take five minutes right now and pair off and tell somebody something that you read directly about Krishna. It could be a pastime. It could be this. It could be a tape that you heard. Something that you heard and read recently about Krishna. Starting now. Okay, 8:10, 5 minutes. Just start. Pick somebody right next to you. And if pair off, not into the mic, okay? And nobody's exempt. You have to speak too. And don't forget to give the other person a chance to speak also. Baladev, catch him. He's catch him. Bring him in. Thanks. Okay, switch people. Make sure that the other person gets a chance to talk. Okay, just two more minutes only. Okay, just 1 minute more. 1 minute only. Okay, wind it up. Wind it up. Whoop. Okay, Hare Krishna. So here's one of my observations, and then I'm going to ask you what your observation was. My observation was, you thought, oh gosh, what do we have to do this for? No. And then started out a little slower, a little quieter, but as the minutes go by and as the talking goes on, the volume in the room increased, and you could hear the excitement in the air. I've experienced this a few times doing this little experiment with devotees. It starts off, I have to do it, so I'm doing it. But then you realize, oh, well, I remember this and that and this and that, and that's exciting, and what that person said reminded me of this, and the volume, and the this, and so anyway, that's my observation. But it's actually a practical This is how we have to practically apply what we hear from the Bhagavatam. Here we are reading about the topmost transcendentalist, someone who's not at all interested, a topmost transcendentalist. They're not interested at all in material activities. So we might be thinking, you know, when will that day be mine? It's from where I am now to that position is quite an enormous distance. But how do I start to get there? By taking these things in a practical way. Let me speak about Krishna more and more. And let me do my best and see what happens. And see what happens. And you see that not only that you become enlivened, but the person that you're talking to also becomes enlivened just by hearing. And what does that do? It takes the relationships between one and another to a different level. Instead of on a mundane relationship of, oh, that person's always whatever, you fill in the blank. Instead we have, oh, here's somebody that I can tell something about Krishna to. And it brings your relationship to another level. Then you think, oh, since that person's going to always tell me about Krishna, let me think of something to say back. So then I'm going to be more attentive when I read. And especially you might experience that when you first start to repeat, it's a little awkward, you know, the story isn't so exciting, or you can't remember the details, or this or that, or the instructions, or unfortunately, like myself, sometimes you forget the punchline, and you think like, oh my God, that was like, anyway, whatever, but you just keep going at it, and Krishna provides so many things. So this is practical. So this is what we can do. So now you got to do it. Now you have to try. Now just take it up and start. And this chapter of the Bhagavatam, it's talking about the first step in God realization. So the first thing that Sukadeva Goswami describes is the position of the topmost transcendentalists, the highest, those that are free from all material attachments and attractions and are here and they're totally fixed on the personality of Godhead. But he begins his instructions to Maharaj Parikit explaining about somebody who's too materially attached. In the next few verses, he'll explain how one should begin their meditation if you're so materially absorbed that you can't even understand or appreciate the personality of Godhead himself. If you're so materially absorbed that you can't even see God as a person, then start your meditation on the Virat Rupa, on the universal form of the Lord. Start somewhere. Meditate on how the Lord's form, the Virat form of the Lord is spread throughout the universe and the planets are situated on all his different parts of his body. Start there, and gradually you'll make progress, because the Bhagavatam is there bringing everyone to the highest level. So Bhagavatam explains that there are three stages in God realization, three different categories, levels of people or classifications of people who are trying to understand the absolute truth. And the lowest level, but not to be neglected, the lowest level are people, it's called the Brahman realization, that they are seeing that the eternal presence of the Lord, or the eternal presence, the force, the energy of the Lord in everything. They're seeing the eternality of the in everything. And from that level of Brahman realization, there's many rules and regulations. In fact, one of the first ones that are explained are how one should practice the breathing process. That's also explained in Bhagavad Gita in the sixth chapter. Practice the breathing process. Sit in a certain way. Breathe in pranayama. Control the breathing, the ingoing breath and the outgoing breath in a certain way. Sit with your back erect and your head erect and meditate on the tip of your nose. Your eyes half closed, not too open so they'll be too distracted. Not completely closed because you'll fall asleep. Sit in that way. When Arjuna hears this, he says, it's too difficult. That's controlling the mind in that way is more difficult than what? What was the example he used? Than controlling the wind. Yeah, it's more difficult. But still, Prabhupada explains later on in this chapter that process of the pranayama, the breathing process, it's a mechanical process to enter into trance. So there's a way to do it if you do it correctly, but not whimsically, not by going to a yoga class once a week and breathing three times, thinking that you're going to get to that level. That there's rules and regulations there also. But if one does follow that, one can gradually make progress. To what? The next stage? What's the next level of realization after Brahman? A little higher up? Paramatma. Seeing that the Lord is situated in everyone's heart. But the danger is, in that process, the danger is that someone, the yogis, they make their progress and they're actually seeing the Lord in the heart. There's a danger of misidentifying that Lord in the heart is I, myself, that I'm God. Prabhupada calls that the last snare of Maya. They've made progress. They're seeing the difference between matter and spirit. They're seeing that there's God is a person to some extent, they're seeing that the Lord is in the heart, but they misidentify. See, and that's what Prabhupada says in the last sentence in this purport. But there are also others who are not the topmost transcendentalists, but are in a lower status, who do not take pleasure in describing the transcendental activities of the Lord, but rather they discuss such activities of the Lord formally with the aim of merging. They're thinking that they can merge into the body of the Lord. So that's a danger there. But so the highest level of realization is the Bhagavan realization. And by one who understands that level, their understanding, yes, there's the Lord's energies are spread throughout the universe, like the heat and light of the sun. They're spread everywhere. The Lord's energies are everywhere. They're also understanding, yes, the Lord is situated in the heart of every living entity. But they're also understanding another feature of that personality of the Lord, of Godhead, that he's a person, a transcendental person with transcendental attributes and qualities and pastimes and activities apart from all of those activities of creation, maintenance, and destruction. And so that level of realization, that third level of realization, Bhagavan realization, that's where this category of the topmost transcendentalist comes in. The topmost transcendentalist is described by Srila Prabhupada and by Sukadeva Goswami as someone who's come to that level of realization. So we're so fortunate as to, here we are, just walking along, going to school, and somehow or other we get the opportunity to eat Krishna prasadam. We weren't really thinking of, the Lord in the heart. We weren't really thinking of merging into the Lord's existence. We weren't really thinking of anything except being totally absorbed in our, studies or the girl next door or the boy next door or whatever, whatever you're interested in, how you're going to gain so much money after you get your degree and make whatever. You think whatever. There's so much distraction. Day and night there's total distractions. But we got the opportunity to take prasadam or hear the holy name from the... where were we? Totally absorbed in materialistic life. And somehow, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya, it's his appearance day is coming up really soon, week Sunday. His appearance in the world to distribute Krishna prema to those personalities, those living entities in the most degraded position, the furthest away from Vedic culture, the furthest away from understanding God consciousness ever. And he's giving them, not only is he giving them opportunity to understand that they're not their body, not only is he giving them an understanding to understand that the Lord's in the heart, he's giving them not only that there's a supreme person who has activities, he's giving that understanding of Vraj Bhakti, the opportunity to taste Vraj Bhakti, loving service to the Lord in Vrindavan, which is higher than the highest, higher than realization of the Lord in Vaikuntha or going to any of the planets in the Vaikuntha world, which is the spiritual world. Higher than that is Krishna's activities in Vrindavan and aspiring to become a servant of the servant of the servant of one of those personalities. And that's Lord Chaitanya's gift. And that doesn't happen very often. That doesn't happen. That opportunity doesn't happen very often. And yet we've got that opportunity by Lord Chaitanya's grace. And not only by Lord Chaitanya's grace, obviously by Srila Prabhupada's grace, because he's taken up that, you know, from this connection of his spiritual teachers, taken up that instruction to tell everyone. And what was Lord Chaitanya's basic instruction? Just become a guru by telling everyone you meet about Krishna. Again, which is the essence of this verse. Take pleasure in glorifying Krishna. And that doesn't mean somebody else, the this leader or the that leader or the that big person or the person who's been here, you know, 20 years. No, that means you and me. We need to take pleasure. We need the opportunities there for all of us to taste that transcendental pleasure. And we just need to go there and drink from the trough, as they say, leading that horse to water, but making him drink this time. We have to take the opportunity to drink the water that he's given us by glorifying the Lord. And it's there for all of us, every single one of us. Don't let your mind cheat you somehow or other. I get a little fixed on that because I see how my mind tries to cheat me all the time by saying, oh, that's for somebody else, or this is that, or oh, woe is me. Or that's just the mind. Just shut it off. Stuff it, control it. Oh, actually, where was I? Oh, it was in verse 17. Verse 17, which I thought was today's verse. But it talks about how the mind, it talks about chanting the transcendental vibration of Omkara, those three transcendental syllables, and by that way gradually controlling the mind by giving it a higher taste, a transcendental taste. And then Prabhupada says, the mind can never be killed. It can never be killed. Desires can never be stopped, but they have to be transformed. They have to be transferred to spiritual things by engaging in Krishna's service. And that's our lifeline. Those are our keys. Glorify the Lord. So in order to glorify the Lord, what has to happen? You have to hear about the Lord. So hear about the Lord, glorify the Lord, and engage in his activities. And that's all you need to know. Hare Krishna. Amen. yes, please. Can you pass the mic? All glories to Krishna Kripa.
Yeah, in the same paragraph he says, I'm a very inverted person. Being introverted. But anyway, he's like, I got so sick of hearing this one day sound vibration. So I had to listen to their vibration. Now they had to listen to my vibration.
Sorry.
On a train. I just on the train. You know, just staring and stuff. But I didn't care.
Go ahead. Share. Oh really? Really? When Kalakanta Prabhu just first started, anyone read Krishna Kripa's blog? I thought he was going to refer to the story he told about in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
That one about and you know, I don't remember all the details, but some girl who came to the yoga class that they had in Jacksonville, she was kind of favorable. And you want to tell it, Parekh? Because I'm sure I'm going to miss half the details. Here it's up. Alex has one closer to you.
So there was this one girl who was becoming interested. They called her once and she came. Again they called and she again came. Then Prabhu asked her that, how are you, I mean, how are you connecting? So she told that when she was a kid, she always used to stand near the games on the upper level just to see where the Hare Krishna devotees are chanting. And she would really like that. But she could never meet anybody, and she had been doing it since 1995 or something, very long time back.
She was three.
Three.
Yeah.
Three. Yeah, 3 years 93. Old, her parents would go to the football games.
Yes.
And they would walk by, and she would kind of go slow and want to hear.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then she was really having a very hard time in Jacksonville, and apparently she had a tattoo of Ganesha and some Hindu gods and all. So they told her there's this Krishna club, you should go and check it out. So she went and then started associating, chanted, and then she told Prabhu that once she was chanting alone, and she could not stop crying, and she was crying and crying and chanting at the same time.
Yeah, like that. Shri Jai Shri Vrinda? Whoa. Hari Rama.
I was wondering about beyond rules and regulations. So if we
You mean the subject of the class? Oh, sorry. Okay, sorry. Yeah.
If someone has a habit of glorifying the Lord, that means they don't have to follow the rules and regulations.
Very good question. Thanks for bringing that in. I'll give you a summary of that. explains the nectar of devotion beyond the rules and regulations. What that, well, in. Okay, hold on 1 second. The Sanskrit was something or other. It'll come to me, maybe, by the Lord's grace. Okay, so. Nivritti. Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti and Raganuga Bhakti. Thanks. Okay. So Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti means following the rules and regulations. So there's all these, this is the framework for one who is not transcendentally situated to come to that platform. Very important. So what is the basis, what's the impetus for us who are neophytes to follow those rules and regulations? The impetus is because it says in the scripture, because our spiritual master has instructed us, get up early, chant your rounds, do the process of sadhana like this. We take to it, we hear, we develop a little bit of faith, and we take to it. So therefore, we're in this process of sadhana, vaidhi sadhana bhakti, because of the instructions of our spiritual master. We want to get to there. This is how he said. We've developed a little faith and the association and the spiritual master, and we're following that path. Now, someone who's on the path of spontaneous loving service, someone who's actually come to the platform of spontaneous love of God, that platform is called Raganuga Bhakti. So that's a topmost transcendentalist. So they are described as beyond the rules and regulations. Oftentimes, from our perspective, even when we hear those words, beyond the rules and regulations, we think, oh, that means they don't have to follow. Therefore, they're very advanced. But actually what it means is that they're naturally following. It's not that they're out in the clubs or out eating meat or out this and that and explaining that, oh, yes, I really love Krishna. No, but they're sleeping less automatically because their consciousness is so developed that they don't like to waste time by sleeping. They're rising early automatically because they're anxious to start their day by chanting in a concentrated way. So they're following along based on love. We're following along based on instruction. And sometimes there's love, and it's not that there's no love. But some days, have you ever had a day yet where you just don't feel like chanting 16 rounds? It's like, but you get to a point that you do it because you've been instructed to. So that's good. But the fact that you might not feel like it or you might this or that, that shows you where we're really at, you know. But someone who's on the topmost transcendental position, they're always glorifying, always. And they're based on love, they're spontaneously following. So now it might come to pass that there might be some deep, so there's so many rules and regulations in, according to Varnashram and this and that and society and this. They're beyond those rules and regulations. So oftentimes you hear the example of there's a prayer or a song glorifying Lord Nityananda that even if he goes into the drinking place, even if he holds the hand of an outcast girl, whatever, still, he is, you know, I accept him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he's beyond, you know, like Krishna would do that. He would, because he's beyond the rules. The rules and regulations are for us to follow, and they're beyond that. Yes, Prabhu.
I was just listening to a Prabhupada lecture. He was talking on the third chapter, I think one of the 21st verses, where Krishna says that whatever a great man does, ordinary men will follow. And then afterwards he says, you know, he has nothing to do with anything that's going on here, but he's still by example doing so many things to give the example. So even when somebody's above the rules and regulations, they still do things to give the example for others to follow.
Good. That's a great note. Oh, yes, Prabhu. Can we pass the mic over to... I'm sorry, I didn't really catch his name, Prabhu.
I'm not Prabhu.
You are?
No.
Okay.
The reason we follow rules and regulations is to remember Krishna and to remember him in our hearts. So it's very important to remember this. This is the purpose of following rules and regulations. And I believe Rupa Goswami says something along the lines of, you know, if we see someone who's advanced in devotional service not following them, it will create confusion.
Oh, yeah, it does. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatriki Vini Minam.
So it's important to realize that there is a reason we follow them, and that we should not stop following them simply because we see someone not following them.
So. Jai. Thank you for that. Thanks for that contribution. Jai Srimad Bhagavatam class ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Krishna Prasadam ki jai, Go Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.